The Swiss-born conductor Charles Dutoit is not retiring by any means. He is, however, stepping down as chief conductor of the Philadelphia Orchestra, making way for the ensemble's new music director, Yannick Nezet-Séguin. Named chief conductor after the departure of Christoph Eschenbach in 2008, Dutoit has provided a leadership bridge between music directors, providing advice on guest conductors and repertoire, auditioning new players, and leading the ensemble for weeks at home and on foreign tours. Dutoit's long relationship with the Philadelphians began with his debut in 1980. He's directed the orchestra's summer concerts for decades at the Mann Center for the Performing Arts through the 1990s and at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center in upstate New York from 1990 until last year. Dutoit has been an international music presence for more than half a century, with long tenures at orchestras all over the world. He served as music director of the Montreal Symphony from 1977 to 2002, and led the Orchestre National de France from 1991 to 2001. In 1996, he was appointed music director of the NHK Symphony in Tokyo, where he is now music director emeritus. Dutoit has also been a prolific recording artist, appearing on over 200 discs dating back to the 1970s. When we met in the spring, I asked him how the landscape of classical recording had changed over the course of his career.
Now, the recording business is disappearing very quickly, and it's not the same thing, you know. It's not the glamorous thing which was existed in 30 years ago. To make a recording was a consecration of something. Today, you know, everyone makes a recording at home. You know, you put the microphone, laptop, yeah. You have this, a laptop, and so it's finished, you know.
Do you feel privileged to have lived through that time as a recording artist?
Yes, oh, of course. I think I've lived through a golden period, because I was at the very beginning of the compact technology, the CDs, you know, and we have recorded what we had to do. And after that, the market went down, and now it's dead, more or less.
But those records are still there. Those recordings are still there. And if you were starting out today, if you were a composer of 35 years of age now, there's no possibility that you would be looking ahead to doing the amount of recording that you did.
No.
We're not going to have it again.
No, it won't. I don't think so. But, I mean, you never know. It may rebound or something. But the world has changed so much. You see, my dear friend, it's just unbelievable. Every day I discover that in every field, you know, that it has changed so much. The values have changed so much. The culture as such does not exist in the way it used to be. And now it's information. You know, people are well informed. Kids are informed. They know a lot of everything, but it stays here. You know, it's not digested. It doesn't go far. So,
are you just an old man now, then?
No, I'm not old, but I Yes, I'm old, but I'm not old in terms of because I have. It's not a nostalgia. It's just more a criticism of what I see. And I'm not saying that before was better and so on, but today is certainly not good.
Yeah, it probably was. Let's not be
so
around.
Put it the way you was. Want. You know?
Let me ask you about, because we're talking about communication, and famously you're a good communicator.
Who?
You're a good communicator. You know how to talk to people.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes, often. Yeah. Yeah. You have a reputation for being very charismatic, both in public, in private, and with musicians.
Oh.
You also have a reputation with musicians for making them work.
Ah.
That if it's not right, we'll do it again. And if it's not right, we do it again. And was that the case with every orchestra? And was that the case here with this orchestra?
Well, you know, when you rehearse, there are different ways of rehearsing. The rehearsal technique is the result of several decades of experience. It's not enough to say to an orchestra, okay, let's do it again because we are not together. People will say, well, okay, they will do it, but it's nothing will change or much. Maybe it'll be together, but it's not a artistic way to, you know, to talk about music and things. On the other hand, if there is some problem, a big problem, I first of all say, here is the problem. But I don't try to solve it. I want the musicians to make the effort to do it. And if the problem stays, then it's like a doctor. You have to have a diagnosis, and then you have to say, do this, 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 and then you cure the problem. And this is where the experience comes in.
So you've not, have you always done it like that? No.
Well, no, when I was 30 years old, I was not capable of, I always rehearsed well, you know, but I was not capable of having enough knowledge to talk to a bassoon player of or the first horn of a great orchestra and tell him to do this and that and this and that. And they looked at me and say, who? But today, of course, they respect that because they know that, I hate to say they know that I'm right, but they know that I know.
And you've earned it.
You know, but you see, if you compare a conductor to a good doctor, I think it's important. It's really, you have to make the right diagnosis of what the problem is when there is a mistake or something. Intonation, balance, how to produce these things. You know, I give some classes here and there because sometimes I think all these decades and things that I've been working and I have worked with about 150 different orchestras, you see. And the quality of the orchestra doesn't make any difference. If there is a problem, but I mean, of course, you don't learn much with a great orchestra. You learn with a second-rate or third-rate orchestra because you have to find a way to make them solve the problem, you see. Of course, some people in the Philadelphia Orchestra, I don't have to tell them what to do because they know. But that's why you have to work with a second-rate orchestra for many, many years before. So this is where you learn your job, not with a great orchestra. Yeah. But I have done some classes, you know, they call that master classes, or whatever classes, you know, in Buenos Aires, in Tokyo, in China, in Korea, and so on. And I have all these kids coming in, you know, unbelievable to see the difference between this one and that one. For instance, Dudamel Gustavo, you know, this great guy, you know, he came to these classes because he was learning the Symphonie Fantastique. So he came to Buenos Aires, and, you know, when I said, okay, you come in, you know, I didn't know him. When I saw that, I said, okay, go home.
You could see he was that good.
I didn't have much to tell him. Wow. You know, he was so unbelievably gifted. He would pick up all the things. But he wanted to hear the rehearsals and see these things. So he's a nice chap.
And he was in his early 20s at this point.
Oh, yeah. That was in 2001.
Right.
So that's 11 years ago. So he was 18 or something. Yeah.
What's your future with the Philadelphia Orchestra? You're saying that this is the end of your tenure, but you're not disappearing off this earth.
I have to take a break, you know, because there are many reasons for that. First of all, my calendar is very full. Secondly, you know, I need to go away for a while. You know, I've been involved in these 4 years. It was a bit of a trauma, you know. I want to do something else for a while. And Ernest Seguin coming. He also has to fly with his own wings. I don't want to be around and so on.
Have you talked to him?
No. You know, frankly, I don't know him. It sounds very funny because he comes from Montreal, and I met him in a park when he was 10 years old. He came with his mother. He came to ask for a signature on a program. It was a piece of paper, and he said, his mother said, you know, my son wants to become a conductor. That was very cute.
What did you say? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't remember what I wrote on this paper, but probably something encouraging. And then I met him once in the lobby of Montreal. You know, we were rehearsing, and about 30 seconds, 45 seconds, and that's it. I've never seen him at all. So, I mean, 25 years in Montreal, he never came to my rehearsals, but he came to the concerts, I was told. But he never came to see me.
If you were to spend 2 minutes with him, what's the best piece of advice you could give him about what he's about to take on? Because he's not been in charge of a big, so-called big orchestra. He's been in Rotterdam, he's been in the Metropolitan Orchestra.
But you see, European management is different.
Okay, but so what does he need to do here? What would you do if you were him?
Well, I think depending on the questions, I would answer his questions. I'm not going to father him and But I think, obviously, one thing Yannick Nézet-Séguin has is a very nice way of working with people. I mean, I was told, and the musicians like that, you know, youthful, relaxed manner, not the kind of maestro, so it's a different time, you see. Now, things have changed also in this profession. Orchestras are different than they used to be. And the responsibility of a music director has changed probably also.
Very different.
Yeah.
It's not so much that you're the boss, it's part of a collaboration now. Is that the way you think it is?
Yes. I'm the boss, you know. There is a moment, it's not the question of imposing your views, but it's the presence. Someone is there and you respect his authority, but you need also some leadership experience, you know, to tell people how to do it. And after all, the image of an institution depends a lot on the person who is conducting there, you know. I mean, it used to be even more before. Imagine, these orchestras were made by one conductor, sometimes two. You know, it was a combination of, I would say, osmosis between a man, an orchestra, and a concert hall.
The Philadelphia Orchestra's chief conductor, Charles Dutoit.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.